This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. It's a beautiful Thursday morning. We're heading towards the weekend already. Big deep breath. Stretching your... Yeah, get that crick out of your neck. Get ready for a beautiful day. Well, we can only hope, you know. So I have been... I don't know about you, but... You could try to get to sleep when it's hot like this. It doesn't matter. Look, I'm not one of those people who, A, thinks it's a good idea from a health point of view to have air conditioning in your bedroom. So I don't have that. I know there's some people who like that. And I suppose some people who could afford that. But I also don't like the idea of a fan even, because that dries the air out too. And then you wake up in the morning, you're all blocked up and stuff. So what do you do? I mean, like, you open a window and the breeze comes in. That's nice. But... So do the mosquitoes. Right. So you're a bit screwed either way, right?
I can give you some tips, Gareth.
Well, look at this. Simi Aref is here with us this morning. How are you, Simi?
I was so waiting for you to introduce me so I can say all the things.
No, don't worry, dude. How are you doing, man? It's nice to see you. So Simi's in this morning, which is always a nice surprise. And it's great. Listen, dude. You come in here, and every time I see you, you make me laugh.
I try my best just to be honest. Can I just say a few things?
Of course. Go ahead. Unburden yourself.
We were literally talking about toxic masculinity like 3 seconds before a song about finger fucking was playing.
Yes.
And
that's the beautiful contradiction of being human.
Yes. And then I was like, wow, how early is this?
First thing in the morning, you need to wake up.
And then secondly, if you want to stop the mosquitoes, this is an old wives' tale. My granny told me it. Cut slices of tomato, and put it on a small plate, the smaller plate.
The saucer.
Yeah, and that will not work. I guarantee you 100%.
So there we go.
But it's like a placebo effect. You know, you tried your best.
You'll think something's happening. Oh, I've heard so many old wives' tales about what you can do. So first of all, Simi tells me his parents have been staying with him. He's had to move house. Yeah. You must be stressed out like you can't believe.
I'm finished, bro. I'm thinking about staying in the same flat that we're in while they stay in the house.
I need to, like, this, I've got to wrap my head around. You're such a good person to let this happen in your life. First of all...
They bamboozled me. I wouldn't say it's a good thing.
Sure, but you must be one of the best sons ever to exist on earth for any parents, because...
Thank you.
Jesus, if you haven't had thank you every day from them, it's time to kick their backsides out on the street.
No, they will definitely not say thank you to me.
They won't?
Yeah,
think they owed this?
Yeah.
Are you an only child?
I'm becoming an only child. My sister gets married on the 5th of January.
Oh.
So I'm very excited. You don't understand. I'm very excited.
But Simi, it must be driving you crazy. Your mom and dad are living with you.
Every single day.
In an apartment.
Yeah, in my flat in Killarney, which was a lovely flat before they arrived.
Sure,
let me tell you, it was
space.
Three bedrooms,
two
bathrooms, a massive dining room, a massive lounge, and a balcony.
And it sounds like this is a great place for you to write your comedy and to do your stuff.
And
you've even been involved in
and
television.
And Sputch Woman.
Radio. Yes, exactly.
And Sputch Woman.
And you take women back to your apartment and they go, oh, look at this. He's got this beautiful apartment.
Yes.
You've got a view. You've got a big dining room you can have like lavish parties in.
You know my life.
Three bedrooms, and then your parents go, oh, opportunity.
Yeah, because my sister moved overseas to London. She works for the Secret Service there. She's the overachiever. I'm like...
She's in MI6?
Yeah. She's in that one. But she does private consulting and security management or something like that.
Is that her industrial title, even though her real title is she's a spy or something?
Yeah, but you know the worst thing about her being like a spy
amazing.
In inverted commas? She doesn't know any James Bond references because she's a loser.
Oh, so she's a nerd.
She's a nerd. So I was just like, yo, is your secretary Moneypenny? She's like, no, it's Samantha. I was like,
she doesn't even think that's funny.
No, she doesn't even understand it. But so my mom and dad came up. My mom and dad came up about 3 years ago.
Oh.
But they came for a December holiday because Sihan, my sister, had just left. And she's like, hey, we're feeling bored at home. Can we come up? I'm like, yeah, sure. Come for December.
Yeah, because you love your parents.
December came to January. And then you can't really tell culturally Muslim people can't really tell your mother or father like, hey, when you guys like leaving. One day my mom comes home, she's like, I've got a new job. I was like, great, don't you have to go back home then? And she's like, no, it's down the road
okay,
at the center of diabetes. I was like, oh my god.
But now you said something there that I'm very, very concerned about. You said like it's cultural that you can't tell them to leave.
Yeah, because, well, specifically my mother. My father's, I wouldn't really mind.
You love your mother.
Yeah, heaven lies at my mother's feet.
No, I get you. Yeah. I get you on that front. And I would do anything for my parents. So don't get me wrong. I'm not some cold-hearted asshole. Mm-hmm. And if they were in trouble, I'd help them. And if they needed
Twitter
help,
doesn't think that, Gareth. Get on it, boy. That's your brand there.
Please don't you worry.
The
last time I paid attention to Twitter was probably mid-2014. My life has improved substantially since then.
It is good.
What good do you get out of being on there? Nothing. There is nobody who benefits from being on Twitter. No one. No one's ever.
I took a social media sabbatical.
Yeah.
You're right.
No one's ever made money on Twitter.
Yeah.
And not even Twitter's made money on Twitter.
Yeah.
Think about that. Nobody on there has anything to say that is uplifting, inspirational, useful, practical.
I find it very toxic, Gareth.
It's very toxic.
Toxic Twitter.
So anyway, the point I was getting to is, I love my parents and I would help them out anytime. But you said here, like, culturally you feel bound, or maybe it's just familial loyalty, right? You feel bound to, like, not be able to address your mom and say, hey, listen, I'm a guy, I'm in the prime of my life. You're a successful man. You must have a lot of women banging on your door, and then as soon as
thanks for believing in a brand that isn't true.
No, come on, don't humble brag.
No, I'm not humble bragging over there. Bitch. I would love to have more women in my life.
Out of all the comics I've ever met, I don't think you're the ugliest. That's what I'm saying. All right.
So, oh, you're so right there. Well, you're right on that one.
Jesus, it's some ugly comics. All right. No, I mean,
The reason why my career hasn't popped off is because I'm too handsome.
Too good looking for comedy.
That is.
Because people laugh at funny looking people immediately. They don't have to do anything. Someone like Mel Miller gets on the stage, God
and they're
bless
just like,
him.
Yeah.
He looks ridiculous.
He's also 60 something.
Yes,
so.
Of course. He's very old. Very old man. Very talented, but very old.
I agree with you.
So you are in the prime of your life. You're a young man. You look at you. You dress well.
Thank you.
You're well groomed. You're sophisticated. You understand the world.
Jesus, I hope some girl is listening now.
Oh, there's a girl right now. She's busy having a go. She's
listening to this.
Anyway, the point is that I'm trying to make about you is that you can't take these women home. Where can you? Are you
in my Fiat 500? That's where I'm fucking.
And it's a tiny car.
Yeah, but it's such a babe puller. Oh my gosh,
the Fiat 500.
The Fiat 500. I have, you know, I cannot like
First
tell
of all,
people.
Isn't
more.
It a woman's car?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But generally,
I have so many questions. Generally,
the thing I love about the Fiat 500 is that every guy will be like, "Oh, why did you get such a small car? So like small and stuff." Yeah. It's not about, you see, size does not matter in most of these things. So what happens is, I got this car. And I was just like, I don't know much about cars. Mm.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize it would be such a babe magnet because every girl treats it like a baby. She's like, oh, that thing's so cute. Oh, I love it. Get out driving it.
Well,
yes, go driving this thing, man.
So it has bowed you
maybe, well. Maybe you, you see, you've turned the tables here because then they're not threatened by, you know, one of those alpha male, oh, drive a big muscle car guys. So first of all, they probably feel a bit safer with you. Second of all, they think your car is cute. They think you're not this materialistic.
Of course.
You know.
You're working out the game plan slowly.
I got you. So you basically come at them from the, hey, look, I'm not trying to prove anything with my car like every other douchebag in Johannesburg.
Oh, you've worked it out.
I might actually be a nice guy. And then they discover you aren't.
Yeah.
Okay, but hang on. So you have to take them in your car.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't go home with them, or you have to go to their place, which is kind of a little bit dodgy because you never know.
Oh, Gareth, have you never heard of Airbnbs, my friend?
Do you just book
Airbnb
in for the night?
My man, it's like
see what your parents are forcing you to do. They're forcing you to actually use your money, your hard-earned cash, to stay in a bed which you've got at home.
Rent and
use.
Surplus. No, but the way I've designed the new house, so when we bought it, we just smashed like lots of things, and I've planned for the future.
Okay.
So when we were building it, the first thing I said, Mom, what do you want? She said, I want a bigger entranceway. I said, that's brilliant because when you die, I mean, the body needs to leave somehow.
Take back all those things I said about you being nice to your parents.
That's a wholesome conversation.
I was like, what else do you want? She's like, I just want parquet flooring and my kitchen done. I said, okay, cool. I made sure that's at the top of the list is my mother. Mm-hmm. Then I said, where do you want your bedroom? And she said, near yours. I said, not happening. Let's plan for the future. You can't go upstairs. Yeah. You've got two hip replacements. There's no more hips left.
You've got to be on the bottom floor.
Put her on the bottom floor on the far right. A whole different wing for her and my
Your
father.
Upstairs left.
Yep, there we go. Upstairs left. Right. With a steel, there is a stairway that I have.
Separate entrance. Got you.
And all I've done, I just put the kitchen in the middle. Because I know if they want to ever want to make coffee or anything, they are safe.
In the middle of the night.
Yeah, they can do that in a parquet-floored kitchen with white granite. They can enjoy themselves.
So, all right, you've maybe figured out something here, because it's also like you've got people there to look after the place when you're not around.
Yes.
You travel a lot as a comic. And I suppose you also have someone to cook for you.
I mean, my dad does the cooking.
But that's someone to cook for you. What a win.
I agree. Listen, the one thing I do want to say.
But this is the opposite of what a lot of millennials are doing. Millennials are staying with their parents. Your parents moved in with you.
No, it was a good life. It was a good decision for them. I mean, they've been thriving.
they've
been thriving off this thing. But I've always just wanted to do comedy. But my dad, since he's moved in, he's just like, yo, are we changing this thing up? Is there a career change happening in the future?
Oh, now they're putting pressure on you that they think you should be doing something else.
Yeah, just like my dad thinks I should study more. Which,
does he not take comedy seriously as a career? He thinks you've been messing around for the last few years.
For a decade. He's just like, yo, you wasted your whole 20s on this thing. Because for the last 18 months, I haven't really been gigging. I just didn't feel like it.
Can you afford to just not gig? You've got other things that you're doing.
No. I realized that I had to jump on stage again when I went on a date with a girl.
Yeah.
I paid for the pizza and stuff like that. We go, still chivalry, he's not dead.
Yeah, of course.
And as a Muslim person, we keep our money in different bank accounts. One for the bond and one for different things. That's how we... there's a concept called kiting.
And are
kiting.
You quite strict about that you don't like usury? Because,
In
strict Islam, they say that you shouldn't actually charge interest.
Yeah, in strict Islam, they also say don't speak to. You can't speak to the opposite sex. So let's be real.
I'm not saying you're a fanatic.
No, I know. I agree with you.
Somewhere in between, there is a rule about interest.
There is a rule about interest, but I mean, if you look at any Muslim person and they look you dead in the eye and they'll be I don't believe that Sharia law banking is my future. okay, dog, thanks. I never trust a business deal going down in a mosque. Put it like that. Okay. Okay. Any person that is doing business at a mosque, I'm not trusting you.
It's those people who say they do business in the golf course. I don't believe them.
Yeah. Don't believe them. I actually can't remember.
You got different accounts.
Oh yeah, good different accounts. So I go and I buy the pizza and stuff, and my Capitec one says, "Oh, okay, cool." I was like, "Well, 58 rand left." Okay. Now 58 rand is fine for me.
Right.
I can thrive on a 50 rand.
Are you one of those people who's just learned to make things work?
I learned from Eugene Corza.
Right?
That's
how?
Weird. God loves his creatures that he puts on this.
Somehow there's a way.
Wrong. I've never worried about... So, one of my best friends owns a bakery. So, right. If it's a Friday night, I'll go play cards at the bakery and... we'll have a braai or something like that. But I never worry. As long as I have 50 rand in my wallet and I've got a decent amount of petrol.
Okay.
And even if
everything else will sort itself out.
Yeah, and even if I had 20 rand, I wouldn't necessarily go out. I'll play PlayStation. You know, I'm fine.
This is very liberating.
Thank you.
A lot of people are so tied in. They define themselves by what the bank balance is and how much money they've got and how much they can use that money to make their life better. They forget that you can actually live... pretty well. I mean, we all forget that we were students once, right? And when you were a student, you had nothing. You had debt.
I had debt. But some people just haven't worked out how... Joburg is a place that will suck you up and make you feel a lot more expensive than what you really are. You know?
Yeah.
And so I'm just I can have a good time with 50 rand. It doesn't really concern me.
Could you afford this pizza?
Yeah, I paid for the pizza. So I looked at it and I was like, ooh, 58 rand in the bank account. I must transfer some money in there. Uh-huh. Then the following week, she's like, yo, let's go to the arcades. And I love the arcades.
Okay.
So I say, great.
Like games?
Yeah.
Oh, at
Monte Casino. Oh, it is the best date you can go on.
Games where you...
Yeah, it's the best date you can go on. Let me tell you, it sucks away time and the conversation. And you can really fuck up a person at air hockey.
That is so much fun. That is.
Yeah, just so this girl that I went with, right, very cute, curly hair and stuff.
Oh,
and I go
and
to.
Was she any good at this air hockey?
She got fucked 7-0. Let me tell you, she ain't good. Oof, calm down there. I am a master of the arcade.
He's not
I am
shy.
A master of the arcade.
He doesn't mind boasting about his air hockey.
Yeah. You know, Monty asked me to stop a certain game, dog. There's this one that where you take this hammer and you hit it and go and you get to the top of the 1,000 tickets.
It's like a strength test.
Yeah, but it's not about strength. That thing is all about brain. There's a formula to it. It goes da-dink, 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 and on the fourth time it goes da-dink. If you time it with a da-dink, ping, and you hit it,
get the most score.
Yeah, I got about 10,000 tickets that night.
I've seen a lot of big brutish guys and they don't get even halfway up.
Yep. 10,000 tickets. The guy literally at the Magica company or whatever they're called.
And they said, you're not welcome here
please,
anymore.
No, please stop playing this game.
It is actually admirable and kind of weird that you've timed and you know these things.
I love
it. So,
but I grew up in the arcade. So
well. Dude, I love this. Do you remember playing a game called Double Dragon?
Yeah.
Oh. What's that?
Okay, it was the first arcade game I played. Yeah. Before we had computer games.
Okay.
So yeah, this is very old. I'm much, much older than both of you. But anybody who ever went to, like if you went with your parents to a takeaway place or whatever, they had these things outside.
The
and it had a joystick and a couple of buttons.
Mm. Yeah.
And Double Dragon was this game which you would play with a friend of yours or your brother or whoever. And then you'd have to beat up these big oaks.
Mm.
And then they'd abduct your girlfriend in the game.
Okay.
And you'd have to get her back.
Yeah.
But you'd have to beat up all these, and then there'd be a boss at the end of every level.
Level. Simple, old game format.
And you'd have to kick and you'd have to punch, and you'd, like, it was a real old school arcade game.
Wow, this is before my time.
I used to go to sleep at night dreaming of having more time and more money to play Double Dragon.
You see?
All I wanted.
The arcade was the place.
I get what Simi's talking about. This is powerful stuff. We love it. You took that when you got those 10,000 tickets. I mean, you felt like a.
Well, they confiscated 8,000 of them.
They did.
Yeah, yeah.
What would you have bought with it? One of those big soft toys.
He's planned it. He's thought about this before.
Yeah. Oh, Gareth!
What were you
going to
do with your 10,000?
So I was like, there was enough time of that evening because they only came to me like at 8 o'clock, and I've been working that machine for like 30 minutes. So I had worked it in my head. I could easily make like 50,000, 80,000 tickets easily.
And
like,
then you could buy everything.
They have
an
Xbox. They have an Xbox. Okay. They have an Xbox. Okay. So I was just like, yo, I'm going Xbox level here.
But I don't understand how they could have. That seems very unfair to me. They should have given you those tickets and let you carry on because you'd figured out the game.
Yeah,
that
is
the point. Game theory is, what are the victory conditions?
Exactly.
Fulfill the victory conditions, you win.
It's that was my argument, but now imagine trying to argue.
I would sue.
Yeah, really? For my tickets? Okay, I'll just buy the Xbox. So I'm withdrawing money for the tokens because I'm just like, oh, okay, you know, chivalry. Mm. Put my card in, press the code, then it says insufficient funds. I said, okay, click to see how much insufficient funds. Does this girl not go? Is there a problem? I was like, there's a line of people behind you, calm down. She's like, but is there a problem? I was like, yeah, I don't have any money. And she's like, don't you earn? I was like, But also at the same time, I must give a little bit of credit. She didn't know who I was. She doesn't have any social media.
Oh, yeah, that's all right.
Which was dope. And
so she liked you despite the fact that she didn't know who
you were. Yeah, she did also leave me for a guy called Jacobus in the end, Gareth. Let's calm down. She hit me with one of those long messages going, I'm sorry to do this to you, Simi, but you know when I was like, what's the problem? She's like, oh, there's another guy, and he wasn't vibing with me, and now he's vibing with me. And can I please speak to you in person about this? I was like, yeah, sure. We went to the Rosebank Starbucks, and she's just bawling her eyes out. And she's like, yeah, and his name is Jacobus. I'm like, you leaving me for Jacobus? Kid, come on, get a better name.
Like
get a better name.
Bursche Frau.
Yeah. So I was like, and you know, and that's the reason why I've started a new business called Muslim Girl Against Muslim Girls Dating White Guys.
Well, can we have an app for that? Because that sounds to me like it could be a prospective business.
I think Muslim women.
You know, there's Jewish dating. Yeah,
there's
app.
A Muslim. Yeah, there's a Muslim Tinder.
Is there one?
Yeah, I can never remember the name of it, but all the Muslims on Twitter will be like, yeah, a Salam Finder or something like that.
Salam Finder, that's
nice. Something like that.
And get on there. You think I'd have a chance?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. As like Muslim girls are in the phase where like where people of color were when apartheid just ended. Like, oh, I wonder what a white person tastes like, you know?
Right. So they want to test out the waters.
Yeah, yes. and they never admit it. Like, you see, the thing is, I know the darker side of millennial Muslims. More than anybody else. I think I'm the
darker side.
Yeah, I know all the tricks.
Are
I know
you going to get into trouble
tricks.
Telling us about these things?
Nah, not at all. Okay. I don't think enough Muslim people listen to the show.
Good, then go ahead. So what is the darker side? Go on.
Like, I frequent places, because of comedy mainly, where it's there are pubs, there's alcohol drinking, involved, there's drinking, yeah, sure. there's doing weed. I've seen everything. I've seen, like, the thing that fascinates me about Muslim people is, like, they'll get drunk and then they'll ask, when they inevitably get hungry, they'll ask the person at the bar, like, yo, is the chicken halal? Like, yo, my man, you can't go 60%. Go 100%. Go 100%.
Go for the bacon.
Yeah, go for, like, just dala that thing. It's fine. I mean, like, I don't, like, I mean, don't hide it now. And I think they, like, a lot of Muslim people just hide it. I'm just like, just live.
Yeah.
No other Muslim person is going to judge you. They can't, according to your own religion even.
And if God is so judgmental, like, do you really want him as a friend? You know?
I always say, I was like, yo, you guys, like, specifically South African Muslims, like, yeah. they have this whole, like, God-fearing thing, right?
Well, it's like, true for the Christians. It's true for everybody.
But I always
they're
find
all terrified of God because you know where that comes from, of course.
Developing nations. That's my theory.
No. This is if you ever go into a study of why Calvinist Christianity yeah. is so particularly pernicious.
Yeah.
You'll understand that part of what John Calvin.
Ooh, pernicious! Was, what a lovely
he was
word.
This, word of the he was day. This completely. He was a miserable son of a bitch.
Yeah.
He believed life was about suffering. And he believed that the more you suffer, the closer you get to being, you know, like Jesus or like God. And he had this idea which seems to have taken hold. And the Catholics liked it too, even though they didn't like Calvinists.
Yeah.
Because that was a Protestant branch of Christianity, so fucked up. Anyway, the point is, it is that the more you suffer and the more you take on guilt and sin and all of these things that weigh you down as a human being, the closer you get to that suffering Jesus felt on the cross. Now, this to me is just such dangerous stuff because it makes people feel like there is nobility in poverty and in misery and in all of it. And I think there might have also been an element of that in particularly in Salafi Islam.
Yeah.
Right?
For me at least, I think is that it always seems to be poor people like being duped into being more God-fearing.
Yeah, or that they think, well, that their life usually is really hard, right?
Yeah.
Because if you're poor and you're miserable and like things are not going well in your life, it's almost better if someone says to you, well, that's the road to the kingdom of heaven.
I also
it's
hate
like
the
you're
line.
Bullshitting them at the same time. It's not bad enough that you're having a shit time day, in this
yeah.
life.
The next
also
one.
Lie to you about the next one. And they go, oh, thank fuck, at least I got that to look forward to.
I just hate it with this. So they always
you know,
go
it's like Black Friday. Where
I love Black
no
Friday.
No money
though.
All year, but at least I'll get that TV in November.
I never thought of it that way.
It's just horrible.
Jeez.
Black Friday is hard, horrible here though. But Amazon, like my sister, because she's in London, yo, the stuff she sends through for us, well, we've been eating. We've been eating.
Yeah.
Yo, it's amazing. TVs, I'm having a good time, doc. I'm having a good time with Amazon.co.uk.
But that's the point, right? They give you way better deals than we get here.
Yeah.
They give you like 10% off toilet rolls and people are lining
yeah,
up.
They're lining up. Yes.
Like, what kind of a deal is that 10%?
One of my friends, Zoe Brown, she's on Espresso, right?
Oh, yeah. I know
sweet,
Zoe. She's been in here once.
Yeah, sweet, sweet Mamacita. Sweet, sweet, yes. sweet, 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 sweet.
She's not the curly-haired girl at the...
No, she's not.
At the Monte Casino arcade that you...
I once proposed to Zoe Brown live on Espresso, dog.
You proposed and what happened?
And she didn't say no. She also didn't say yes. I went down on one knee and she just went down with
me
as well.
I'm sorry to break this to you. But
break what to me?
If you're not married and you proposed, it means she said no.
Oh, okay. Well,
sorry, Simon.
You have to look at the glass half full, Gareth. I think that's been your biggest problem
throughout
your whole career.
You're engaged, but you're just waiting?
Oh, she doesn't. I don't think she knows we're engaged.
I mean...
No, I mean, we've still hung out a few times.
But nothing.
Well, I want to teach you about contract law, okay?
Please.
Contract law is you can make a verbal agreement with someone, and it's binding. Now,
okay.
If she didn't accept your offer,
She didn't say no.
Well, she didn't accept your offer.
Still hope.
Listen, this is an unfortunate thing for me to have to do for you this morning, but there's...
Please bear in mind, I've been engaged to her for 2.5 years, okay?
Yeah.
Well, okay?
You're
about to not be engaged.
You're laboring under severe misapprehension here. She does not want you. She has not accepted your offer, and you two are not married. Hence, there was no verbal contract, and I'm afraid your engagement was completely...
Okay. Explain this to me. Explain this to me. I said... On a following time, on the same show, like 3 months later, it was Valentine's Day, my birthday.
Ooh.
And I said, Zoe Brown, will you be my Valentine? And she said, yes, of course.
And what happened?
She was my Valentine. Oh, what? That means If you weren't engaged with this person, would she not?
What happened? Did you go out on a date? No. Did she come home with you one night? No.
No, but we've hung out many times.
Does she WhatsApp you the whole time and say, hello, my love, how are you doing?
Okay,
this morning?
I did this gig like a month ago.
She doesn't care about you, Simi.
She does. We message each other.
Simi, at least there's still Minda.
Who's Minda?
The place for awesome Muslims.
I told you. I told you.
Or do you want Muzmatch?
Muzmatch. I'm on Muzmatch.
I just use normal Tinder.
I get no hits. I get no matches.
I just use normal Tinder, but I'm starting to think normal Tinder either makes me a racist or people are racist on it.
Why? Because they don't take you?
Yeah, brown people never thrive on this thing. Like, okay, my friend Dean.
Oh, no, that's very unfair.
Dean,
I'm not laughing.
Dean Schroeder, right?
Sounds a very white name.
Yeah, but he's not. Dean's half Muslim and like half German. He's a big fan of your show, actually. He listens. He tells me all the time. He's like, oh, do you see Gareth got high in studio with guys? We should do that as well.
Oh, no, that's not a good
I would advise again.
Oh, I recorded the podcast with those guys. It lasted 20 minutes.
Justice, dude.
Yeah.
It's horrible. I have never suffered like that in my life.
Yeah, I was gone, eh?
It was bad.
It was horrible. But so
Dean still have chills running down our spine.
Dean is inherently a brown person,
right?
But has all the white things you need to survive: a white surname, a white name. But his name is Dean, the Muslim Dean, like as in faith, D-E-E-N, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you see, most people wouldn't know. Dean picks up mad woman on this thing. Me, I'm lucky to pick up three or four people.
I think you might be whiter than me. Just hold on.
I am.
How can you be prejudiced against on this thing? That's very unfair to me.
It's because the name Simi comes with different connotations for them. It's just like, oh, this guy must be Indian.
Oh. I know a Simi who's black.
There we go.
Because there are Similani, Simis, right? Yeah. I don't know any Simis who are white, but I'm trying to think. Do I know any colored Simis?
You know colored Shimis, I'll tell you that.
Shimi.
Yeah. Color shimmies.
So they're fucking racist to come there as well,
bro. And
they're
so like,
everywhere.
And then like, you know, you'd be like, when you match with someone,
like
the only
in
thing
the garden, they just pop up and fuck up everything
when you least expect them.
The only thing I get when I match with someone is not even like, yo, do you want to spatch? Spatch is my new word for smash. I just think it's easier.
It sounds revolting. It's like the word I learned yesterday, twant.
Oh no, that
which
sounds
is
horrible.
An official word.
Twant. Yeah.
Yes.
We actually looked it up on Urban Dictionary. Twant is obviously a mix between
Is Urban Dictionary your source you're going to for
course,
this?
Of course, it's a legit. What's wrong with. What's your source, Einstein?
Oxford Dictionary.
No.
Ooh, with your highfalutin Oxford.
The man that lectured me on contract law.
Exactly. I'm telling you, twant.
Okay.
So, what is sputch?
Sputch is like smash. Like fuck.
It sounds terrible though.
It comes from the
sounds
word.
Sounds like something that involves like a shovel and
no.
There might be some plastic sheets.
When you cut a chicken.
That is not a good way to start.
And it's a whole chicken. Oh. It is spatchcock, right?
Yeah, but not spatch.
Yeah, now remove the cock part.
Oh.
And that's how the woman is.
It's still even more revolting.
Yeah, it's a hood. Hood slang.
It almost sounds violent. It almost sounds like a little.
It's old hood slang. There's lots of old hood slang I've brought back. Like Zak. Zak was one I brought back into the colored and Indian community.
What's Zak?
It's money.
Money. Izaka. Like that's where it comes from.
No, calm down.
Okay,
comes mind. From the word zakat, which is money you give to charity. But Zak, dog, I brought Zak back. And so now Spatch is the new 2019 term.
Sure, put that on the t-shirt to me.
To bring us full circle on this,
yeah.
The girl who at Monte Cassino eventually, she asked you if you had no money and you weren't earning.
Yeah.
And then she broke up with you for some guy called Jakubis.
Yeah. What a thing.
I mean, you moved on. You obviously didn't have a problem.
Of course, I didn't move on.
You even met up with her to hear about Jakubis, which I think is so nice. I would have just said to her on the phone, we don't have to have the face-to-face. It's not going to work.
That's what I said.
But she insisted?
Oh, Gareth, it got worse, dog. She called me like 3 weeks later. She's like, yo, I really need to speak to you. So, you know, me, hopeless romantic. Yes.
She's coming back to me.
Yeah, she's coming back. She's like, let's meet at Starbucks. I'm like, which one? She's like, the one by the Mark. I'm like, that's the best one. Because people know me there.
Yes.
I get over there. I've got all my notes up because I was doing some work. And she's like, Simi, I need your help. I was like, yes.
Uh-uh.
She's like, I need you to help me write my CV. So I'm just like, okay, that's just an interesting way of this being a date. No, for the next 3 hours, I wrote her fucking CV.
And there's no possibility of any action at the end of this.
Nope, there was no spatching.
Still in love with
spatching. Yeah, still in love with zero spatching. Zero spatching. Zero spatching.
You know what? Here's the moral of the Simi story this morning. Before we get to the top five things you need to know today, moral of the Simi story is: if you're a nice person, no good deed goes unpunished. This poor man has got his parents living with him.
Yeah,
he's got no chance of spatching.
No spatching in that house.
The man
currently.
He's having the most horrific year.
Yeah. That's it.
In conclusion.
Yeah. Wouldn't.
Black Friday was his only good day, and he was ordering things on Amazon.uk.
And making my sister, who's living the dream.
Your sister doesn't even bring you some.
Double-O-double-O-eighting over there. And nothing. Yeah. So it's been a bad 18 months, Gareth.
I'm sorry.
I hope your 18 months has been good.
You know what? You're here with us this morning. I want you to just relax and have some fun.
Thank you.
We got John Flismas coming in later on with the Burning Platform, which I'm delighted about, because we've got so much to talk about, from SABC retrenchments to state capture to Julius Malema and his wife living in Mazzotti's house to DeLille and her party called Good, which we have to debate. Here's a message from someone. Hi, Gareth. I was listening to your podcast yesterday. You guys are talking about people that are stupid in public areas like malls. They just, you know, people have no spatial awareness. They have no idea that they're taking
up. Like
when
couples are walking together.
Well, that's romantic. You can go around a couple, but
I
like
go
five people
there.
Walking abreast, or a big fat person blocking up a shopping aisle in a supermarket when you're trying to get past, they're unaware that you're even there. This guy says, I live in Dubai. As a black man, I try not to say this, but there are a lot of people on the metro who, oh my God, he says, there is this new thing they started doing. So when the cabin seats are all full, they don't want to stand. They stand in front of the doors and block them for everybody else. So this guy's having a tough time in Dubai.
He's listening to your show all the way from Dubai?
Then you cannot get in or get out. I fucking lost it the other day and shoved them out of the way, yelling, get the fuck out of the way, you idiots. Obviously, living in Dubai, that could get me into a lot of trouble, but I had to do it. Honestly, that's from Lionel in Dubai.
Lionel, a black dude in
Dubai.
Yes,
I know another black guy called Lionel.
I'm not saying that there aren't black people called Lionel.
Well, are you questioning his identity, Simi? You want to have a fight with Lionel? Give you his number.
Yeah, fucking bro. I'm not a coward. I'll fucking fight you online. I don't give a fuck. I'll find you. I'll find you in Dubai. I'm going to Dubai soon. I'll come find you.
That escalated so quickly.
I'll come find you.
Quentin says, Double Dragon was cool.
Thank you, Quentin.
Oh, man. What
Quentin
a great
has
game.
It now.
Yeah, Quentin loved that game too, just like me.
Yeah.
All right. And then Brendan says, morning. Guys, I've got this Easy Equities demo account. Can I buy and sell as suited, or must I buy 12 and keep them until January? Some go into the green, but then they go back down into the red later.
He's talking about Bitcoin.
No, this is about shares. We've got this share competition going on with Easy Equities. So what more in red, but I can't. Competition rules. Brendan, do me a favor. I love that you're so into this, because I think you might just win it. We've got this competition where there's a big prize at the end of it for the person who does the best in terms of day trading. I would assume, because it's trading, you'd be able to change. There's no point in just grabbing a certain share and holding on to it for a month. That's gambling. Day trading is about going, well, this share might go up, so I'm going to buy more of it. This one might go down, so I'm going to sell some of it. I would imagine that's how it works, but if you're not sure, just email us and I'll forward it to Anthea and the guys at Easy Equities, and they can figure it out for you. But I'm in no position to answer this. I'm a moron when it comes to this stuff.
That's so weird, because I was listening to you now and the first thing I want to say is like, wow, Gareth, you sound so knowledgeable on this thing that I have known nothing about.
Please. Everything I've invested in the last year and a half, I've made a loss on. Everything. So I'm not even going to talk. The last person you want to ask for advice is me.
Jeez, I was about to end the show just now going, yo, Gaza, I need some help with my podcast and stuff like that. Now I am regretting thinking about my whole proposal.
Oh, jeez. Look what I've done. I've ruined your life and mine. All right. There's some things in the news we need to talk about quickly. Just a couple. You want to hear what they are?
Go for it.
All right. First of all, the police. I don't know if you've seen the pigs. They're out in the streets getting ready for the festive season and all the road issues. So obviously, we need them there because people drive like morons in the festive season. A lot of drunk drivers, a lot of people who are traveling long distances, unroadworthy cars. Traffic officials are gearing up for the festive season, and officers have been deployed along the N3 route in KZN ahead of the holiday season rush. They've embarked on a two-day tour of one of South Africa's largest and busiest highways to make sure that everything's okay. They've got roadblocks, brake testing stops. They've set up a corner to corner errant motorists and unroadworthy vehicles. And they've said, make sure that the public transport, freight, light motor vehicles, and all the other kinds of cars and bikes are all roadworthy. If you're traveling on the N3, they will check. So this is something that you absolutely need to make sure you're on top of. And we were just talking about this yesterday.
They don't stop you in a Fiat 500.
No, well, it's because they think you're a girl.
There we go.
On your own.
There we go.
But
there
but
we go. Never been stopped.
I had my car serviced just yesterday. It just feels better when you get in it and you don't have to worry. And you think, okay, well, everything they told me, they did the whole health check and it seems okay. So do this for your own car. KZN Metro Police's Nalini Singh has urged motorists to abide by all the road regulations. We see a lot of carnage on our roads when drivers do not take brakes and they fail to adhere to road signs. I've always said sleeping at the wheel is way more dangerous than being drunk at the wheel. So there we go. The solution is to take brakes, to not try and drive all the way to Cape Town in one day. You will die. I know people who've done it, but usually they take a lot of coke.
Bad idea. Bad idea. No.
Watch out for that. All right. Nelson Mandela Foundation has paid tribute to Alex Berain. Do you remember who Alex Berain is?
One of the old freedom fighters.
No, he was actually the deputy chair of the TRC.
Yes, along with Desmond Tutu. Yes.
Nelson Mandela Foundation, among others, has sent its condolences to the family of late anti-apartheid activist Dr. Alex Berain. 87 years old, he died at his home in Constantia on Wednesday, exactly 5 years after the death of Nelson Mandela. Wow, it's 5 years since Madiba died.
Huh? Yesterday was 5 years to the day.
The CEO of the foundation, Selo Hatang, said Berain played his part in trying to find a path towards a more reconciled South Africa. His passing is now connected to other legendary South Africans, like Nelson Mandela, and Robert Sobukwe, who was born on this day in 1924. Tutu visited Berain in his Constantia home last Thursday. The two of them were very tight. They obviously had the unenviable job of trying to get South Africans to unburden themselves of some of the most awful, egregious, and nasty parts of our history. The TRC was probably one of the world's best attempts at trying to bring people together after a very fractious past, and this guy was an integral part of it. Between him and Desmond Tutu, they allowed people to absolve themselves, to unburden themselves, to come and tell the truth. Some people chose to and found the whole process very... I suppose a lot of people think it's cathartic to share your stories, to be able to tell the truth about where the bodies are buried, what you did, what people had done in the name of the anti-apartheid movement, of the struggle, and then the other side. And there were people from the other side who said, look, you know, I did this terrible thing. I did all of these terrible things. Please forgive me. And Alex Berain and Desmond Tutu were there to try and help them find a way through it. I mean, such enormous hearts and souls these people had to be able to deal in a not judgmental way with this and allow women to cry about their children who disappeared during apartheid that they didn't know about.
Shucks.
And of course, there were those horrible people who didn't even bother to pitch. I mean, we never saw Magnus Malan. We never saw Pia Via Buerta.
I always think about if the TRC had to happen now in like a new age digital market, like how viral those clips would go.
Well, they would go, but I don't think people would be as sensible as the two leaders who really they spearheaded this TRC and made sure that it ran effectively. So rest in peace there, Alex Berain. Discovering that news with some sadness this morning. The Home Affairs Department has relaxed document requirements for children. This is very good news.
Goodness, thank you.
You know that derelict Malusi Gigaba.
Imagine this in your mouth.
You know, this useless... Yeah, I mean, the guy is going to be more famous in history for his dick pic than he will for any contribution to South African society. They've managed to, with immediate effect... They've relaxed some of the requirements for children traveling into and out of the country. He always said it was because of child trafficking that he was so insistent that we have these ridiculous rules. And what it did is it immediately sliced the number of tourists in and the number of people who were able to leave South Africa for, you know, to spend money effectively. I mean, why would you do this to trade and to tourism? But luckily, the Department of Home Affairs has said that enforcing strict provisions was aimed at curbing child trafficking. It has cost the country billions in lost tourist revenue. Billions. And we can't afford it at the moment.
What statement, can we afford?
Nothing. Zero. We can't even afford those specials on Black Friday.
But if you have a Fiat 500, petrol is ready.
Your marketing campaign this morning.
What? He's angling for a free one when this one breaks down. All right. So the statement from the department said foreign children from countries visiting South Africa requiring visas with passports giving particulars of parents will not have to supply documentation like an unabridged birth certificate. A lot of people go through life, they never need to see an unabridged birth certificate.
I haven't seen one.
No. So this is a ridiculous thing, and we can be glad that it's been dismissed, along with Malusi Gigaba. And then, this is quite interesting, in the Joburg High Court yesterday, two awaiting trial prisoners escaped. They were appearing there. It is understood they escaped from the court on Wednesday afternoon. It's unclear if they were armed. Both appeared on charges of murder. So that's nice. Well, that's two murderers running around this morning. So if you see someone suspicious, not Samir Ref.
Yeah. I was in court last month, though.
What are you doing there?
Got arrested for common assault.
Did you?
Yeah.
Stop. What did you do?
This guy called my dad a racial slur, and I lost it.
So you hit him?
I choked him.
Who was he? Just to do it on the street?
No, he's the caretaker of my building. But he's got like that very weird, like subtle racist vibe. So he called my dad the C word.
What? Oh, you're joking.
Yeah. So then, so I flipped out on it, but I was choking him because I'm from the hood, like I said.
Sure.
And so I've never been in an altercation before.
By the way, if you wear glasses like you've got on this morning, you can't go with that hood thing. You look way too sophisticated. You look like you've just
A vague name, Gareth.
Yeah, you can't wear those.
I've got a vague name, dog.
Either.
Dog, I've got a vague name.
You can't wear those in prison, no. Sia.
I was in the detention cell for... Sia knows about prison.
Look, that is like hood rule and prison rule number
I've
7.
I've got a hood name, okay. Dog. Chokey.
Chokey, yeah.
Metakoki, that's the vibe. Full slap. I've got a slogan as well.
All right,
you see,
so
if you go with that, you are going to be someone's butterscotch in this cell.
Did you go to court?
Yeah, I went to court. I was out on 500 rand bail, and then it got thrown out.
Okay.
Yeah, it was very nice.
They didn't prosecute you?
No, because they looked at the video footage, and they saw me just choking this old man while my father was lying down on the floor. So
what happened to your dad?
No, my dad went to chase him after he said the word... Yeah. And then ruptured his tendon because he's like 68.
God, so basically this went well for you and nobody else.
Yeah, but I had a jive. Eh? I had a jive. The prosecutor at Hillbrow Madge Court, she knew me. So she was just like, "Hey, Simi, what's up?"
I wish that had worked for me when I was arrested for speeding.
What is this?
Jesus, they didn't put you on fucking TV like they put me on. Assaulted a dude.
I know, dog, but I just want to say one thing because I've always wanted to tell you. You have one of the dopest photos ever taken by one of my favorite photographers, Eon Sky.
What, coming out of the court?
Yeah, I read it like it's one of my favorite photos.
Yeah, I was smiling because I won.
Yeah, of course. Why would you know? Why would you not?
You're talking about the one with
Darlene Porfu. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah.
No, that one I won.
That was a good one. That was a good one to win, Doc. Yeah. That's the one you want to win.
I've been caught twice in my life, and once was for speeding, which I'm not at all embarrassed about. I don't even think it's a bad thing. I think if you're going to go to court for anything, speeding is pretty goddamn cool.
Yeah, but it's a natural thing for a radio DJ to do.
Yeah, well, there's so many who in my wake have tried to emulate.
And
this.
I just want to say, guys,
your legacy. Follow like, the esteemed
guys, just
legacy.
Get to your show earlier, please. Yeah. There's no need to do this.
I'm not. and then the other one was where I completely fucked up Mnet. They lost in every fucking way, and I'm just so delighted. Gives me some people are proud of their children. Yeah. I'm proud of that.
And that just being said, you can watch my one man show, Lesson on Somebody, on Mnet, January 21st.
Okay, good.
With all the Fiat 500 jokes you can take.
No, I don't have any hard feelings anymore, but they certainly do. I mean, if I meet certain bosses from Mnet, if they're even still employed, who knows?
Gareth?
Then they avoid me. They avoid eye contact. They don't know what to do. They get all fidgety and uncomfortable.
Well, that's what happens when you pay someone money for something you don't want to pay money for.
Wow, exactly.
I see it all the time at corporates when clients are like, "Are you sure it's still this amount?" Yeah, it didn't change.
All right, so be careful of these two murderers. They're running around Joburg. But how would that be different to any other day?
Yeah.
Another day in gangster's paradise.
So those are the five things you need to know this morning. All right, Sia, how about you make us feel better? How about you give Simi a reason to live after he's...
That's like, why Sia's on this show, Simi. It's like, there's enough pessimism here to survive. Thank and then God he's like,
Sia.
Yo.
I think everybody should be grateful that Sia's here. Sia, help us with some said by Sia this morning. This is your dose of optimism, positivity, yes, and a bit of inspiration.
Yes, right, Simi. Yes. Hold on to yourself here with this one. No, but I really do think this is quite cute and cool. A homeless man stopped by his local food bank in the States. And this is a food bank where a lot of homeless people can get meals and clothes or warm blankets every now and then. And this just happened a few weeks ago. No, this in the States. A few weeks ago, Kevin Booth, he's homeless, stopped by his local food bank. And he saw this parcel that did not have anyone's name on it.
Uh-oh.
Just outside the door of the food bank.
Yeah.
Anthrax.
And just, by the way, I reiterate, he was just there for food. He opens up this parcel, which is in the form of a bag, and he found a stack of $20 bills that
drug money
collectively amounts to $17,000.
Sure, the dealer drug money. The dealer must have left it there by mistake.
Yeah.
This is actually someone.
Come back and get it. Yeah.
This is actually someone who was donating to the food bank, but instead of just taking this for himself, Kevin Booth actually continued on, knocked on the door of the food bank and said, oh, by the way, there is someone who donated this, and so he gave it to the food bank. Imagine that.
Firstly, I want
to
say,
are you big enough to do that?
No, dog. Okay. You know what I learned from my very good friend, another comedian, Alfred Agin? Never leave money lying on the floor. That's literally what that guy did. He literally left money lying on the floor.
Yeah.
Imagine if you were homeless and you still have the strength of character to go through and give it up.
Nah.
Like the food bank.
That guy's
was
moral compass is all whack.
Moral compass. The food bank themselves, firstly, weren't expecting the donation. Then secondly, for Kevin Booth to still continue on and give the money to them. They say that they really, really are grateful for this. And now the community overall are now saying, look, he doesn't have any money. This money rightfully isn't his. But they all now have started a new campaign for him.
To be a better man tomorrow, and will never ever let you down.
They've banded up in collecting money for Kevin Booth, and they're starting to go through job training for him to change his life. Because actually, the food bank serves free meals to roughly 1,000 people every single month, including for Kevin Booth himself. And he says understanding what he's gone through in his life and understanding the type of people who need help from the food bank, he says there was no way that he could actually take that money away. Man.
Don't you do any local good news, heartwarming stories?
Yes, I do as well.
None of those.
Oh, my friend got his phone back from Global Citizen. So.
Oh, well, that's impressive.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
You stole the guy's phone as well.
Never mind. That's your said by Sia today before it gets tainted.
One of the homeless people in that food bank actually has just called in to tell us what happened. Sir, do you want to go ahead, please? And were you very pleased to get the money? You guys obviously used it to help the soup kitchen, right? Okay, thank you very much.
I think he dipped into their rum.
Suck a muck of this.
Yeah. I'll take that as a yes.
Oh, Gareth has become the old school DJ you never wanted to be.
La Oka Pa Sinaraku. Anta Nasango Ta. Tula Rika. Kwa Omsa Lajiwan.
All right. Thank you.
He's playing. This guy, you know, this guy used to be the coolest person in the country. He's playing sound clips here over MacBook.
Isn't that great?
We are professional. Yeah, great.
Those are actually homeless people.
Hey, Gareth, one day we need to sit down. You know how cool you were, my dog. You speaking now, you're playing sound clips over here for me.
We run a very professional establishment here.
What do you mean I used to be cool?
I dreamt of being you.
When I was in commercial radio?
Yeah, you're cool then, dog.
I don't know, dude. I'm much happier now.
I know you're happier now. Listen. Commercial radio is a beast.
I wouldn't want to go back there. I mean, what was cool about it? The job?
No, you just, like, you know when someone has, like, a big brand, like, you know when you're a kid, like, I was young when you were doing 5 AM things, you know?
Yeah.
And I was just like, yo, because I also always wanted to be in radio. So when I heard of Gareth Clever, I was like, yo, I want to do that job.
Yeah, but I mean, now, who's...
But commercial radio is not the same now.
That's the point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm honest, like, Anele kills it. I enjoy Anele's Breakfast Show when I'm up and listen to it.
When you can make your way through 17 competitions.
Of course, and like three songs
in a 1,000 rand is a prize.
Hey, that's a cool prize, Gareth. Come on. Don't talk shit.
No. I'm not saying it's poor Anela.
I'm just
Anela. I mean, yeah. Listen, we talk about this stuff. Don't tell me you're having fun when you have to go in and do a whole lot of commercial stuff every morning, and you can't actually make people laugh or make them think or make them talk about anything important.
But that is the problem with radio in general.
Exactly,
at the moment.
And you're playing shit music that some program director's chosen. It's horrible. I wouldn't want to go back to that. So
music is dope, Gareth.
The homeless person. Let's get back to that. You wouldn't give the money.
No, I wouldn't give the money.
You'd take it with you.
Yeah, I'm like, for me, bribery is okay. So like, you're talking to the wrong person.
Bribery's okay.
If I get pulled over by a cop and like, but I don't have my driver's license, I'd pay it. So I would definitely keep the money.
Bribery's okay.
I just think it's a way of life in South Africa.
You're ruining Sia's worldview here.
No, but I'm just thinking that's how South Africa works. It's the Wild West over here, guys.
You see, I'm slightly different. Okay, so this, I think, you know, this Kevin Booth guy, very honorable, and he understands what's going on. But I think it was last week or the week before I brought up a story on the show, and everyone didn't see the story the same way I did. So do you know the TV show Storage Wars?
Yes, I love that show.
Yes, and people bid for storage.
Yeah, for the stuff inside.
Boxes or whatever the case is, and they don't have a chance to rummage through.
Yes.
But yeah, so there was a contestant or a person on that show bought a storage, or rather won the auction for $500. They open up the storage compartment, they are able to go through, and there they find a bag which had, what was it?
It was a lot of cash.
It was in the millions.
That's my money now.
I think it was $16.2 million. Yeah. And that's it. I also said I would keep it. That's your money fair and square, in my opinion. Gareth and everyone else thought, no, they would give it up.
Well, because the real owner came out like about a month later and said, no, that's my storage unit. I can prove it's my storage unit.
But it's not your storage unit anymore because they failed to pay rent for three months, and that's why it's put up on auction.
Well, maybe the guy was thinking that they'll just take money from the bag every month and be like,
have you ever had a membership somewhere that expired, or you subscribed to something on the internet and then you didn't renew? Come on.
Yeah. Mm-mm. That's more. I'm actually 10
million.
If you put, I'm just saying like, the human error in it is, I don't think it's a 16, man, maybe it is.
No, come on.
And then an honorable person who donated $17,000.
Yeah, but you see, that guy could have donated it via like the bank.
Your guys,
you didn't have to use drug money.
I'm sure they came to some arrangement, though. That's what happened.
Yeah, it was a settlement. They ended up getting $1.2 million of like the seven.
That's $1.2 million they didn't have, which wasn't theirs, which they got as a result of the settlement. But they didn't deserve more. Come on.
Mm. Oh, you mentioned storage. I'm just thinking about moving all my stuff into the house.
Poor Simi.
Look at this full circle.
Poor Simi, it's getting worse because Simi now has to move as well. When are you doing the move?
I have been doing it. I'm in the middle of it.
You poor man.
I'm in the middle of... I slept at my flat last night while my parents were in the house. I was telling Sia in the morning. I was like, I just want to wear more new clothes now. I was like, I'm wearing the same jeans, guys. I'm wearing the same chinos.
Yeah, well...
Life is rough.
You'll be able to unpack all those boxes one day. Mm. One day when everything is actually yours again. Mm. Poor man.
Sure.
All right. It is just before 7. We're going to get to the burning platform. John Flissmas is our guest this morning. Thrilled to have him here to talk about some of the stories and current affairs and some of the things that we need to know about. You know, sometimes you get to the office and someone says, oh, did you hear what Johann Rupert said the other night? And you go, what? I don't know. We'll help you. So you don't have to sound like an idiot and pretend that you care about their opinions and you don't have any of your own. John will give you an opinion because you probably don't want to have to go through all the trouble of thinking of one for yourself. So let him do it for you.
Yeah, no, I agree.
That you're like, gonna stay, stay here, right? And we're gonna both take his opinions and just implement them. Footstewards. Straight into any argument. Anyone brings anything up, you just go, yes. And don't give John credit. He doesn't need it. He's got no ego. He's been in this comedy thing a long time. He doesn't care if you mention that this is John Flissmas's original idea. I mean, comedians steal his stuff all the time. So why shouldn't you, as an ordinary member of the public?
Jump on the bandwagon. Yeah. Why not?
Right. Hey, listen, John used to have a show in Jacaranda on a Monday years and years and years ago.
Yes.
And he's allowed me to
Was
studio.
He cool then when he was on radio, or is he still cool?
Yeah, he's cool. he's still cool. I mean, he wasn't back announcing the type of songs you were doing on 5FM.
Was that cool?
Nah.
No. Send me your definition of cool needs to be re-examined this morning.
But I'm uncool. But so, you know, the smallest things make are cool to me.
All right. When we come back, John Flissmas, Burning Platform. It's brought to you by Nando's. It is just before 7.
This is CliffCentral.com.